News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is 8:07 on Mobile Mornings with, I guess things are going to change as the day goes along here a little bit because we're starting out kind of cloudy, but that's not going to be it for the whole day.
Yeah, no, we might and should get a little bit of sunlight today, and tonight some rain expected to move into parts of the area, but high near 76 today. Tonight we'll get down to around 55. Tomorrow is when the major changes begin here. And, well, tomorrow it won't be as cold as it will get. Tomorrow will be around 68. But wait until Thursday. High around 65 and a low around 42 Thursday night. So the weather is going to really cool down for the second part of the week.
Invigorating. Mm. It's Quinn Hillier. He's always invigorating. QuinnHillier.com. And, of course, the work that he does in Louisiana and New Orleans. Good morning, Quinn. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Hope you all are doing well.
Yeah, and same to you. And while I'm sure the folks in Louisiana happy with how this hurricane season has gone so far, we've talked so often about Lake Charles area especially, just getting hit with multiple storms a year. So as far as the weather, things have been good. But as far as their football teams, they've been struggling, whether you're a Saints fan or a fan of LSU. And so many people talking about the Brian Kelly firing. I imagine that's the case where you're riding over there in Louisiana, where your riding goes to.
Well, yes, indeed. First of all, I do have to say there is one
Tulane.
Louisiana football team that's doing very well. And
Tulane.
It's the Tulane Green Wave, exactly.
Yes, yeah.
Roll wave. But look, the LSU fan base was in uproar wanting to fire Brian Kelly, and so the governor who got involved and the athletic director complied, and they fired him mid-season. And, you know, maybe at the end of this season they would have looked at the overall record and everything that he's done and would have decided that he doesn't deserve to be there. But to me, I say LSU fans, LSU, boosters, governor, stay the heck out. All of you guys are dead wrong, and it's everything that's wrong with college sports. And, of course, a lot of people in Alabama disagree with me, not because they like Kelly, and I don't even like Brian Kelly from what I've seen. I don't like him at all, so I'm not defending him. But Alabama fans feel the same way about their team that LSU does, and they probably would have wanted to fire him mid-season, too, if he were their coach. And I say that's crazy. You've got a coach who's halfway through the year. He's got a winning record of 5-3. His only three losses are to top 10 teams in the nation. Only three losses. He's got a 71% winning percentage overall. He's 26 wins away from Bear Bryant's overall win record, by the way. I'm not saying that that is the ultimate record now, but still. That's
pretty good.
Pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And there has been no major scandal. I mean, look, if the guy were cheating, you fire him. If the guy is telling his kids don't go to class, you fire him. If there's some other kind of big scandal, you fire him. Otherwise, you don't fire the guy midway through the season for losing to three top 10 teams in the country. He could have come back a week and a half from now and beaten Alabama. It happens. Alabama's gettable. And, you know, teams turn around on a dime all the time. And you wait for the end of the year. The message that they're sending with, get this, a $54 million buyout, okay? That's $54 million that could be going, you know, because funds are fungible. It could be financing so many good things around the state of Louisiana if they don't do that, because now they've got to come up with money for another coach in addition to that $54 million. I could go on and on, but the values putting wins and losses so high that you fire somebody in mid-season is just wrong. This is still college. This is still an educational institution. And these kids have committed, even though they're in the NIL, you know, age and all that, they joined LSU in part because of who LSU's coach was. And you are pulling the rug out from under them without asking them. This is not a professional league, and you are messing up the educational mission of the university.
It's close to a professional league as it's ever been.
Well, and I was going to say, we could play the buyout game all day long. I mean, at this point, Auburn could have paid for a lot of the bridge down here with their buyout money for coaches over the last 15 years or so. But I know you seem, and I know you probably have a problem with the just overall landscape, the state of college athletics right now, but that is the landscape now, Quinn. I mean, you let a coach go before a bye week, hope things turn around a little bit, but really I think it's about, you know, making sure that the players that are going to leave are pretty clear about that with the time that they have, but more importantly, seeing how many recruits you can bring in, letting them know a new coaching staff is on the way, and the coaching search. I mean, it's pretty standard that that's the way it's done. Look at Penn State, same thing.
Yeah, Florida.
Yeah. What Penn State did was despicable. I mean, absolutely despicable early in the season. A guy who, again, as far as I know, no scandal, no nothing. How about letting the season play out, and then you fire the guy? And okay, you lose 3 weeks. You lose 4 weeks. Teams get transfers through the portal, you know, all the way through the spring. The idea that you have to do this mid-season like this is crazy. All you're doing is feeding the beast, feeding the crazy high expectations, feeding the idea that there's nothing involved in college sports other than
winning.
You know, winning and big fan bases. This is still supposedly an educational institution, and if they don't want it to be an educational institution, then they should just stop doing classes, period. So, and just say, okay, we are creating a separate division, and we're not calling it a university. We've got the Louisiana State University and then the Louisiana State football team, and you don't even try to pretend. Maybe that's what you do, but right now this is a joke.
So I guess they're trying to get ahead of it. But let me ask you, both of you, what do you think? Because if Lane Kiffin, most observers of Southeast football are saying that's the best job out there, not Florida.
Mm-hmm. LSU.
LSU would be number one, Florida two. And you can argue that. But anyway, they seem to be, there's a consensus on that. Lane Kiffin probably likes the idea of that job. He's got his team is playing well enough with, they're going to be playing in the playoffs mm-hmm. through December, maybe beyond that if they do well. It's a new era of trying to deal with any of this.
Yeah,
because
what are you getting ahead of, right?
If they want Lane Kiffin, and if I'm Lane Kiffin, I stay where the heck I am. I mean, why do you go to LSU when they're fan base is so crazy that they fired six of the last seven head coaches. Okay, six of the last seven head coaches. That's not a place that is actually a good, stable place to work. But apart from that, if you want Lane Kiffin, I'm sorry, firing your guy halfway through the season is not going to help you get Lane Kiffin, who's not going to be available until mid-January. Okay? It's just not, and actually it might send a message to Lane Kiffin that, hey, these people are crazy. Maybe you should stay where you are, where the people are slightly less crazy and where you've already got a good thing going. That's the message it sends to any sensible coach.
Yeah, well, I think most of these coaches know how the game is played at this point, right? Especially Lane Kiffin. It takes crazy to know crazy, and he gets himself involved in every coaching search every year so that he can re-up that contract. But how weird is it that how involved the governor of Louisiana has been in this, Landry? That strikes me. I mean, I'm sure Ivy has talked football. We know she has, but can you imagine her weighing in on letting a coach go or bringing a coach in?
Look, Jeff Landry openly, I mean, he doesn't say this in public, but I've heard he said this in private, and whether he said it in private, he clearly acts the way I'm about to say. He wants to be a right-wing Huey Long, Huey P. Long, who in the 1920s might as well have been a dictator of Louisiana. And you know what Huey P. Long did? Huey P. Long interfered like heck in the LSU football program. And so since he is the role model in terms of authoritarianism and stuff like that, not in terms of, you know, what the policies are, but his style is the role model for Jeff Landry, and so this is right up Jeff Landry's alley. Governor says, "Ooh, I don't like that the football coach has lost to three top 10 teams. I'm going to tell them to fire him." The governor should have nothing to do with it.
I'm not trying to deliver a low blow here. I know you're an objective writer. Is any of this, and you're upset with LSU, is it because John Summerall, the coach of Tulane, is the leader in the clubhouse to become the next LSU coach?
No, and somehow I actually don't think Summerall will end up there. You know, Summerall may not stay at Tulane, I don't know. But I actually don't think he's going to end up there. I think he's going to look at that and say, look, that's actually a hotbed of craziness, and he's just not going to do that. That's what I think. Anyway, that's not why I'm saying this.
Yeah.
I don't like the whole state of college sports. I think the Supreme Court screwed up with name, image, and likeness. I think the transfer portal needs to be extremely restricted. It needs to be narrowed back down so that, you know, you've only got a few reasons, few circumstances that you can transfer without sitting out a year. You know, there's lots of stuff, I think, that needs to be fixed about college football. But even if you don't fix that about college football and all the rules, still, you've got to act with decency and class, and this is one of the most classless things I've ever seen, even though, frankly, I don't think Brian Kelly himself had much class, but that's neither here nor there. I'm talking about the principle of the thing.
Yeah, and also, I think that the governor saw an opening because of the fact that there's no president in place at LSU right now. So that was, I think, his thinking or his excuse to get involved, the fact that there's a leadership void at LSU. He's like, well, I'll run the ship. I'm the governor of the state. So here's what I think. Isn't that a little bit of it?
Well, that's definitely a little bit of it. But here's, you know, and look, I know I'm spitting into the wind here. I'm never going to, you know, convince people. But and this would be true in Alabama, too. The fact that people in a state care more about who their football coach at a university is than they do about who the university president is a very, very bad commentary on the state of society.
Well, I just think it is. I don't know if it's so bad. I mean, even thinking, I remember way back when Alabama had a quarterback by the name of Freddie Kitchens. Do you remember him?
I sure
do.
And so I just remember that Freddie Kitchens, maybe the late 90s or so, and I was fairly new to the state, and just thinking to myself, I was riding along a country road, and I thought, the people in all these houses that I'm riding along, they know exactly who Freddie Kitchens is. There's a lot of people, a lot of things they don't know about. And that's just a kid. That was a teenager at the time.
And that ties right into our current political climate here in Alabama with sports commentators and coaches doing so well. McCarron jumping in.
And that's Alabama quarterback stuff. Look, how about we do something and elect somebody that has done something a little more than just football, for goodness sake.
We'll get into all that. Quinn Hillier with QuinnHillier.com on FM Talk 106.5.
Also swearing in new mayor, new council members on Monday. We're going to talk about that with Quinn on the way next.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 8:25 on Mobile Mornings.
Yes, and it's October 28th. Come November 3rd, which is Monday, I'm going to have officially three new council members and one new mayor, Spiro Chiragatis, as they take over. And Mayor Sandy Stimson hits retirement. But Quinn, one of the stories we've been discussing for months now is the city council race and election win by Samantha Ingram. There's lawsuits Carol filed a lawsuit saying that Ingram, basically the discrepancy here that they're trying to decide on is whether you follow the Zogby Act, which requires Yep. Local law and mandates 1 year of living in the city at the very least, 90 days to live in your district for city council, or follow the Alabama state law, which just requires 90 days of residency in order to run for office. It sounds like Ingram will be sworn in, but Judge Hambright is supposed to have a decision on this very soon.
Well, she darn well better have a decision on this earlier. Look, I will admit that I was wrong early on when I didn't realize the state law component. Actually, not many people did, but I was wrong because I said this is a slam dunk. William Carroll's right, Ingram's wrong, because the Zogby Act is clear.
Mm-hmm.
But the interplay between the state law and the federal law, usually the state law takes precedence, but this gets into some fairly complicated stuff. But either way, she's had plenty of time to study it. The swearing in is Monday. She needs to decide this week. If they swear in Ingram and then have to kick her back off, you know how messy that's going to be? Judge Hambright needs to make a decision so we know on Monday who we're swearing in and or whether we're swearing in anybody at all. I mean, it's that simple.
Yeah, you'd think. It's been such a strange story. I mean, from the get-go, Quinn, when Reggie Hill first brought up that lawsuit that ended up being dismissed, I guess he didn't have the right,
and all that kind of stuff. It was technical stuff.
Technical stuff, but Mobile City Clerk Lisa Lambert more or less said, well, it's not up to her to decide whether someone's eligible, and then it keeps working its way through the courts. Like, I don't understand who is supposed to say, yes, you can run, no, you can't run.
Well, right now it's Judge Brandy Hambright in Mobile, and she needs now, of course, it could go to appeal and all that kind of stuff. Frankly, state law is really ridiculous that it makes the challenger pay the cost of a special election. If the person got elected illegally, why should the challenger have to pay the cost? The law should be self-executing. It's absurd to say you were right in your challenge, but meanwhile you've got to pay for all this. That's insane. But be that as it may, we've got to fix the state law. We've got to clarify the state law, but either way, we need a decision this week so we can move on.
William Carroll did have to come out of pocket. I forget what the number was. It wasn't nothing to do
right.
that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Why should William Carroll have to pay? And look, from what I've seen, I think Ms. Ingram, could be a breath of fresh air. She could be a very good representative. Councilperson. This is not a value judgment on her or on William Carroll. I'm just saying the Zogby Act is clear. The state law seems to contradict it. We have somebody coming in on Monday. This judge has to do her job, and then maybe it goes to appeal, but at least you've got an actual ruling on the case, and we can move forward. And if somebody wants to appeal that, then that's their fault. That's their problem.
Quinn, appreciate your time again this morning. For folks, if they want to follow you on social media or read what you're writing and putting out, how can they get that done?
Twitter, QuinnHillier.com. Of course, you can follow me on Facebook. You can go to, Quinn Hillier's at, Twitter's at Quinn Hillier. You can go to QuinnHillier.com, although it's sort of down right now. Or just Google Quinn Hillier and NOLA, NOLA.com.
Thanks a bunch, Quinn.
Thanks, guys.
We'll talk in 1 week. And meanwhile, the other thing is, maybe larger situation, larger headline is we're going to have a new mayor.
Yeah.
And that's going to begin next week. And so that new administration.
That new mayor smell.
That new mayor smell. Like when you see Spiro out, just give him a whiff.
He might not appreciate that.
Well, he's a pretty friendly guy. I think he'd be fine with it.
Turn up your voice, 251-343-0106. Got a half hour and plenty to get to in that half hour. Plus your texts. We'll hit those when we get back. A34 on FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. We'll come to the text line and phones here in a minute, 251-343-0106. Right now, though, it's time to talk with Vince Allegri from Allegri Farm Market in Daphne and what's on the farm this week. Good morning, Vince.
Good morning. How you doing this morning?
Hey, we're doing great. and some cooler weather coming in, starting to feel like fall. And what are you guys harvesting right now, speaking of fall?
Speaking of fall, the cool weather makes turnip greens and collards sell well. They we're bunching those right as we speak, large bunches. We're still picking some really pretty yellow squash and zucchini, pickling cucumbers and regular cucumbers.
Man, you got it going on there. Also, we got a few days to Halloween, but the fall kind of aesthetic will carry on for at least another month, and you've got some pumpkins still.
Yes, sir. We got pumpkins on sale, actually. All your decorative pumpkins are on sale, and we have some really pretty jack-o'-lantern pumpkins we're putting out right now. They haven't been picked over. They just got here, and they are really pretty.
And another thing that folks really love is local honey, and you guys have a selection of honey there, too.
Yeah, what we've done for the past year, we've been building our bee colonies. We're working with Brandon with Bees Bees, and he's taking care of them for us, and we have them right there on the farm. We're up to 75 hives right now, and we're planning on putting more, and that is our honey in the market from the farm. So everybody wants local honey for the allergy season.
Yep.
And we have it. We plan on adding up to about 200 hives.
That's
in the immediate area.
That's incredible. Yeah, and I was going to bring up the I know a lot of people eat local honey for the allergies. Silly me, I'm just eating honey because it's so sweet and I like it. But I'm going to have to come and get some of that Allegri Farm honey. When I do, where will I go, Vince? Where can people find you?
We're at 181 and 64 in Daphne. We're off of exit 38 off I-10, 4 miles south. We're open 8 to 6 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 on Sunday.
All right. We appreciate it, Vince. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Vince Allegri with Allegri Farm Market in Daphne, and that is what's on the farm this week.
The text line 251-343-0106 at 837. I think this is about we're talking about the gambling situation with the NBA and the mob and all that.
And Shohei.
And Shohei, right. This comes from unnamed texter. Hey, Dalton. Do you think Jordan really wanted to play for the Birmingham Barons? Stern, he was the NBA commissioner at the time, had to suspend him for a year. Bo was in Chi-Town. He set up a deal between Nike and the NBA and Mike. Bo knows. Like, was Bo before Mike with the deal with Nike? Because I know Bo had that big campaign right around the same time. Bo knows, and he had there was posters of him. Zach had his Bo poster with... like he had hockey stuff on and a baseball bat and football and everything.
Iconic.
Yes, right. Everybody, Bo knows everybody shut the heck up. So he was saying that
Jordan
was in some sort of gambling.
It was a wink, wink, nod, nod suspension, right?
Well,
sent him down
to
baseball.
That's never been confirmed because he just said he retired and it was after his dad was killed. It was very odd. Situation with his father being, he would leave home for a while and just meander around North Carolina. And during his travels, he was at a rest stop and was killed by a couple of guys that were trying to rob him, I guess.
And there's theories around that too, you know, conspiracy theories around that. So gambling, not a new issue for professional sports, certainly, but really college sports either. I mean, games have been fixed for as long as games have been going on, you know, back in the Coliseum. Well, not when debt's on the line. You don't want to fix that. But, you know, games have been fixed forever. I really do think the best way to enforce this is, you know, the sports books are so legal now, pretty much. I mean, not in every state, but they have their ways, right?
Yep.
Talk about it pretty often on this show.
You do.
But they don't win. Like, the sports books don't win. The casinos don't win when there's cheating going on. They have people that become disenamored. I don't know. They don't want to watch the games anymore when they know they're putting their money on it and it's faked, when it's fixed, and they'll stop gambling. They'll stop watching sports. So it's in the best interest of these leagues, including the NCAA and the casinos, to stop it when they can find it, and they have the best information coming in. The sports books do. They can see. Remember the Alabama baseball coach. And that was really egregious. I mean, they were able to zoom in on his phone in that sports book, and that's part of the Cincinnati Reds baseball stadium, I believe, the sports book he was in when he was letting folks know about the Bama starting pitcher. And you could read it on the texts from the guy that was actually in the casino placing the bets, I believe. So people will just stop watching if they think that the entire thing is fixed. And the sportsbooks get that information quicker than everyone else. They can see weird stuff going on and then let the leagues know or let law enforcement know. But there's no way around it. With this going on in the NBA, and they say this is just the tip of the iceberg. We saw what happened with Ohtani and how he was really kind of let off the hook. I don't know that whole entire story,
right?
But he's now the face of really professional sports, it seems.
He is.
And if this is bigger than the NBA, if it's the NFL, if they were these mobsters were fixing college football games, this is quite the crisis that that the entire sports landscape has right now in America.
So I was watching, there's a guy, and I don't have his name, but he was a New York mob guy. Did time, and he was able to disengage from the mafia, which doesn't seem to happen very often, right? Mm-hmm. So he's on YouTube, and it's a pretty popular show, so he's right on time with this thing, right? He says this has been going on
forever.
Mm-hmm. And he said, I had like running backs in my office, and I would sit him down and say, hey, because if you're dealing with a bookie in a major city, you're dealing with the mob. You may not know it or not, because the mob is financing whoever you're. You may not be a mob guy, but the mob is behind the whole thing.
Most of the time. Yeah,
he said almost all the time in a major city.
Mm-hmm.
So he said he would. What they would do is they would wait until a guy really got, like if he's $50,000 behind. The bookie comes to the mobster and says, we got a problem here with the guy that plays for the Jets. And he said, no, let him wallow in it. Let him get a little more desperate. He becomes $250,000 behind. He gets called in to see the mobster, who says, you know, we got a problem here. I don't know. Something about you. I really like you. So here's how we're going to work it out. And it's either 2% of your paycheck every time you get paid until it's done, or
work for us.
I got another idea, right? And it's work for us. And it could be bringing people in to do the, you know, bring fish in for the
poker games.
Or how about we do this? You're the star running back. You know, you got a case of the juggles here, you know?
Yeah.
So if you put it on the ground the first three times you have it against the Chiefs on Sunday, we'll figure it out from there.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And so you
find these athletes find themselves in a compromised position, and suddenly if you're the mob, they're yours to do with what you want. Mm-hmm. And that's basically what happened in this.
And it's probably pretty similar to what happens in political blackmail as well.
Yeah.
You know, obviously they're not talking about fixing games, but fixing other things in the political world. And when people get in a little bit of trouble, they go, hey, we can help you out of this. Do this for us. So it's widespread. I do wonder, you know, you saw how much Congress got involved with the steroid scandal and, well, how involved they are with this whole transfer portal and NIL thing. If you don't think there are some members of Congress, some of these people in these investigative committees licking their chops over this whole gambling deal, I imagine this is going to be pretty high-profile news going forward for some time.
So let's keep an eye on this thing, Dalton. Something about this right now just feels wrong in this way. The amount of conversation about it, the amount of press that it's getting.
It's kind of died down a little bit.
It's died down a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it happened, we were getting off the air right around 9 o'clock, and we looked at each other like, wow, this is a big, big story. And it was for a day or so, but it seems to have been like the fire department has showed up and tamped this thing down a little bit. And I'm not quite exactly sure what's going on with all this, but it's not as big a story as I thought it was going
to
be.
Yeah. Let's get to some text. CB Carl says, on the way to the Oyster Bowl, we stopped at Allegri, got some green peanuts. They are in the crock pot right now. You're the man, CB Carl. Fire Dog, we mentioned that new mayor smell, jokingly, obviously, with Spiro Chergottis becoming the mayor on Monday. Fire Dog asks, does the mayor get the Joe Biden sniff of approval? That's funny, Fire Dog. Joshua, we were talking about so many of these sports former stars, former coaches, commentators being involved in the political discussion in Alabama. Joshua says, I'm just happy some of these new politicians and would-be politicians aren't lawyers. Jason, referencing Quinn's conversation, said authoritarian and dictator in the same sentence from Quinn. He still sounds hungover from his No Kings protest.
don't think he was at it.
Backstraps, oh, that's cool. Played with Freddie Kitchens in 96, his senior year. Summerdale Tony Hillier can get off his high horse. Not everybody puts much stock in a college education or the university. The only thing we enjoy about them is the football team, or I should say athletic department. It's kind of strange, and this is kind of a political sports mixture of a 8 o'clock hour we have going on here, but Landry's involvement, and you mentioned Governor Jeff Landry in Louisiana and how involved he was in getting Brian Kelly up out of there.
Yeah.
Well, how much money does the state, I'm sure that, you know, they pay out a lot to LSU with it being a state university, but how much money does the university or the football team in particular bring to the state?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's tons. Part of the reason Landry is so involved, but are we all right with that? You know, do we want, well, our next governor, likely next governor, Tuberville, you don't think he'll be asked to weigh in next time Auburn or Alabama have a coaching search?
Wouldn't that be strange if Tuberville weighed in on the Alabama job? As the governor of Alabama.
He might not need to anytime soon with the way they're playing, but it'd be weird, right?
It'd be weird.
Mm-hmm. Doug says $54 million. I love it. He's talking about the buyout here for Kelly. The state of Alabama needs a tax to pay college players. And that came up, right, in the last legislative session and was shot down fairly quickly.
I think some other states are doing it. That's why. That's the reason it came up.
That's the reason it
came
up.
And I don't know what the terms of the buyout are. I'm unclear on that. Like if he takes another job or and we've had
they're trying
coaches
to work that out right now, actually.
Yeah, but what is the language? Before you even begin to work it out, what does it say plainly on paper, or if there is any plain legalese on paper anywhere? But what does it say about it? And that I'm not really certain of.
Doesn't have Meta, shout out. He's having a great day. He says, going to be a great day. Got off a call and was hit with Dan saying, monkeys on the loose. He said, I don't need the story. I'm going to let my imagination do the rest. It's also my 30th wedding anniversary today. I've had fun sending the text message to my groomsmen, reminding them that 30 years ago today, they were doing the YMCA at a venue on Government Street in Mobile.
All right.
He said, overall, a good morning.
That's great.
This texter asks if we can fire Quinn mid-segment with the Brian Kelly talk. Chris in Orange Beach, the whole LSU community's problem is they think they're supposed to be Alabama. Same with Auburn, but the bar fact is neither one of them are and never will be Roll Tide, is what Chris
says. If Nick Saban had not been lured to the NFL, they would have been Alabama. LSU would have been Alabama because Nick Saban, had he stayed there, and so he when he lands back in the SEC, they're like, this is the worst possible thing. He's at our rivals. But if he doesn't leave for the NFL and stays at LSU, LSU is the talk of college football for the past 20 years, not Alabama.
Everything would have changed. Yep. Or we wouldn't have known it anyway. Let's see. Travis says, I changed jobs back in November, went from a 5-minute commute to a 35-minute commute. The best part is I get to listen to y'all every morning on my way into work. Great job. Appreciate y'all. Thank you, Travis.
Appreciate that.
That's awesome. And we'll get to more texts. 251-343-0106.
We will get to loose monkeys before the shot clock is up.
Yeah. Let's talk, too, about these layoffs, because I had the story earlier about Amazon set to lay off 30,000 corporate jobs here over the next few days. Today, they started with 14,000 workers.
Oh, they already began, huh?
They've begun today, and this will end up being their largest round of layoffs in 3 years. So back in 2022, Amazon slashed 27,000 positions. These are all in the corporate workforce. When they end up laying off these 30,000, that'll make up about 10% of Amazon's workforce being let go.
Of the corporate workforce, they've got 350,000. So, right, 30,000, 10% of those jobs. And they've got 1.55 million total workforce around the world.
And it's, you know, they're selling it as two different things here. And one part, they're saying, well, we, you know, grew so quickly during the pandemic. We had to hire so many more people. Obviously, Amazon, I think, probably made out better than anyone because of the pandemic at the, you know, harm of a lot of local small businesses that were forced to shut down. We don't need to relive all of that, right? But they also kind of mentioned, and they're not making this as big a part of the story, but the CEO, Andy Jassy, told employees earlier this year that generative AI would reshape how the company operates and reduce the need for some roles. Well, we're looking at about almost 60,000 over the last 3 years, and AI playing a pretty big part in those Amazon layoffs. And they do this right before their third quarter earnings are announced in a couple days. So Amazon stock is up just a little bit with the cuts this morning. But then you look over at UPS, UPS says it's reduced its management workforce by about 14,000 positions so far this year, and its operational workforce by 34,000 positions. So UPS, Amazon, two closely linked companies.
Sure.
Obviously, two companies that rely heavily on technology, or want to rely even more heavily on technology in order to, you know, cut their costs. And that comes with laying off people. We're in just such a weird stage here where all of these tech companies, and even companies that just rely on tech, are moving as quickly as they can to get positions filled with AI. But their entire public PR persona has to be anything but that. They can't say
the truth.
We're letting go of 80,000 people because, well, we don't need them. Computers are doing their job. So there's all kinds of spin coming out. And Microsoft, you know, you look at how many people Microsoft has let go over the last year and a half, 2 years, maybe more. All these big tech companies, and you're seeing so many jobs go by the wayside. I don't know how this will affect the jobs numbers once we take a closer look at that. But if you look at the stock market, it continues to go up. UPS with these cuts, I saw they were up 9% just a little bit earlier. That's since dropped to just under 8%, the UPS stock up since announcing these job cuts this morning.
And UPS, they advertise, and you think of them as just this giant business, but they're government. Too.
They have a lot of government work, right?
Well, they are.
I don't know the intricacies of their ties to the Gov.
Well, they're a government owned corporation. The government owns UPS.
USPS. They do.
USPS.
Yeah.
Okay, I got
United
that wrong.
States Postal Service. That's the Fed.
So Brown. That's Brown. What Brown can do for you. If guy shows up and he's in blue, that's a government worker.
Yeah, that's right. And he's just not getting paid.
He shows up in brown. Okay.
If you're in brown, you're getting laid off. If you're in blue, you're just not getting paid. That's how it works right now.
It's a lovely landscape out there, isn't it? 851, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Okay. All right, we're going to get to the monkeys or not. It's 856.
We have
people calling.
Calling for the monkeys. So coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, and then I'll get to the monkeys. Stephanie Holden Smith with Alabama Policy Institute in Hour 1. State Representative Chris England in Hour 2. And ALGOP Chairman John Wall joins Jeff in Hour number 3. Had a couple more AI stories here. And not related related to the job losses here. So viral photos showing wild monkeys on the loose in New Jersey sent cops on a frantic search this week. But officials now say it was likely an AI-generated hoax. The phony images showed scores of primates running wild at Georgia King Village apartment complex in Newark.
In Newark?
Newark, I'm sorry. Yeah. That triggered panicked calls to authorities, and police were on a frenzied hunt last week, according to the Newark Public Safety Director. One image showed two monkeys rummaging through a dumpster. Officers scoured the area, and inside the buildings, animals were nowhere to be found. They've decided it was likely AI generated. So you had this entire force in New Jersey looking for monkeys that weren't there. But another one here I had pulled
beside
this.
That's New Jersey's biggest city, by the way. So that's,
in Newark. That,
yeah.
This one, a little more disconcerting here. A high school football player was eating a bag of Doritos after practice last week when the school's AI security cameras mistook his snack for a gun, and dozens of cops rushed there with their guns drawn. Taki Allen, 16, said he was waiting for his ride after Monday's practice at Kenwood High School in Baltimore. He finished his chips, crumpled up the bag, and was chatting with his friends when he heard cops yelling at him while waving their weapons. Said 8 cop cars pulled up with their guns pointed at him, telling him to get on the ground. They pat him down, no weapon there. Then when police reviewed the actual footage after this AI camera call went to them saying there was a gun on the premises,
right.
They look at this and they go, oh, it was just a bag of Doritos he was throwing away. How insane is that?
That's
a little weird, right?
Yeah, I mean, the monkey story is kind of funny, even though it doesn't involve law enforcement. That's not funny.
No, AI detection system OmniLert, used by schools and law enforcement across the country.
Looks like it's not 100% perfect. 8:59, Dan and Dalton out of here. Jeff Poor on the way.